Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robert, and England's adopted son, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857, and we'll be here till about 9 o'clock tonight. Today, we're going to talk about the World Boxing Super Series continues this weekend, and we'll go over the matchups. And how about this? How about that Jarrell Miller is not our train wreck of the week? Just go figure that one out. How about he is not the train wreck of the week? Huh? How about that?
Gonna have to talk to the production manager about that.
Yeah, really.
But first, we get started with ESPN pay-per-view. The big one, Amir Khan versus Terrence Crawford. Well, we talked about this the other night, and we'll just give you kind of a quick recap and some final thoughts on it. If you didn't see it, Crawford wins via TKO in the sixth round. I think he won just about every round. I think I gave Khan the third or something like that. It was one of those rounds.
Yeah, I gave him the third too, Eric.
Yeah, I think I gave him the third, and that was pretty much it. I tell you, I thought he was doing a good job in the first against Crawford. I thought he was putting his jab out there, using the speed, kind of mixing it up, and then got clipped in the first with the same right hand that Canelo hit him with. They showed a side-by-side on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but it was the same exact right hand, that same exact overhand right that Canelo hit him with. Crawford hit him with the same thing, put him down. Khan got up. He was on deer legs, and then I tell you, man, he just didn't look he didn't look good against Crawford, man, but Crawford is he's an animal out there. I mean, it really is. I mean, for Crawford to, you know, listen, we all expected Crawford to win. But to win in the manner in which he won, I mean, just demolish that guy from start to finish. Listen, I've never seen Amir Khan dominated like that. I don't think anybody else here has either. In any fight that went a distance, obviously he was knocked out in the first round early in his career, but I mean, have you guys ever seen anybody, like, do that to Amir Khan?
From start to finish, no.
Right.
No.
No.
I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean, it was insane. Now, the controversy came in round six where, you know, Khan was getting beat pretty bad. It was pretty apparent where this fight was going. He definitely took a low blow, and now there is some question and argument about whether it was on the leg or on the cup. Now, for me, it looked like it hit half and half. That's just my, you know, that, you know, when I looked at it, it looks like just half and half. Now, I know B will probably disagree with me on that, but that's how it looked. Now, could Khan have gone on? You know, this is a tough one, man. I'm not Khan. I didn't take that shot. I surely didn't take it from Crawford. But I will tell you this, based on everything I've seen in the past, all of the fights that I've watched, have watched in the past. You know, you look at like a guy like Larry Holmes, and who is the gold standard for when you're hit low. If you remember, I was at the ninth round in the Cooney fight. He was hit with a shot heard around the world. And that was, I mean, you know, to me, like the gold standard of low blows. This wasn't that, you know. And, you know, Larry Holmes, you could see, was in a lot of pain. With Amir Khan, he didn't, you know, from the outsider looking in, he didn't appear to be in the kind of pain that would prevent him from going forward. Now, does that mean he wasn't? No, it doesn't at all. But I'm just saying from an outside perspective looking in, that's what it looked like to me. Could it have been completely legit? Of course. But that's just what it looked like to me. And I'm sure, I mean, I know a lot of people share the same thoughts about it. But again, man, listen, I wasn't hit. I for sure wasn't hit with that shot. And whether he can go on or not, I mean, that's up to him, his trainer. Only he knows, you know, if he can or not. But the surprising part was at the end, he's been saying yesterday and today or, you know, on after the fight, and then I heard it like yesterday, I guess, that he doesn't want to retire after this. He said there's still some pretty big money matchups and everything like that out there. I don't know about that, man. You know, he's been steadily on that decline, I think, since the Canelo fight. I mean, I think he signed with Eddie Hearn. He didn't have too many, you know, he had two fights. What was it, against Vargas and then what was the other guy's name?
Phil Greco, I think.
Yeah, LaGreco, that's right, Phil LaGreco.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, go figure that one out. But, you know, whatever. You know, he won both of those, lost this one, but he didn't look stellar in any of those fights. So, you know, he still carries a name. I don't know how much money he carries with that name anymore. I don't see him on pay-per-view, put it that way, anytime in the future. B, why don't you comment on what you talked about earlier today and your comments on your thoughts on where Khan goes from here.
Again, I have no problem with a fighter saying I can't continue. I mean, there's certain injuries that you suffer in the ring, certain situations that you get put in while you're in the ring, and obviously your opponent has a lot to do with those situations. And some nights, no matter what you're doing, it just doesn't work, and you continue to take punishment round after round after round, and there's just no light at the end of the tunnel. So if that's the case and you decide, you know what, maybe I'm going to pack it in and live to fight another day, I have no problem with that. What I do have a problem with is the disingenuous comments being made. Now, I even in real time when I watched the punch, it hit him right on the leg. It hit him at the top of the thigh. It's basically, you know, the most he could have got out of that, in my opinion. And again, I'm not in his body. I'm not saying I felt the punch, but the most he could have probably got out of that was a Charlie horse. But then he was saying he got hit in the testicles, he got hit right in the cup, you know, right in the middle, right in his balls and stuff like that. And clearly, the punch didn't land on his balls, in my opinion. I even in real time, I could see that it did not land on his balls, landed on his leg. And Terrence Crawford said the same thing. He goes, yeah, it was low, but I hit you on the leg, man.
You know, that said, if I can jump in real quick here, Beaver, make a point. I mean, Terrence Crawford said he didn't hit him low.
No,
after the fight.
He admitted afterwards
in
the press conference that he did hit him low.
Right.
But he said, I hit you on the leg.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. You're 100% correct. So, and I want to make a point, too. If you notice, too, when guys get hit, like, you know, in the cup area, whatever, the cup is pretty protected. It's really protective to that area. And I, you know, I've won that cup protector before, and, you know, I've gotten hit in the cup area before. Certain situations where if you get hit on the bottom of it and the bottom of it rises up and hits the bottom of your sack, that is extremely painful. When someone throws like a body shot and they try to loop it in an upward looping fashion, like they torque it upwards, yeah, that hurts. But when you get hit directly on it or you get hit on the belt, it doesn't really hurt that much at all because it's pretty protective. That's what it's there for, to protect you. I mean, when they tested those things out when they first were created, they were hitting them with bats and stuff, and you know, to see how protected they were, and people couldn't feel it. You know what I mean? So if you ever notice in a fight, when you're watching a fight, if a guy's winning and he's in control, and then he gets hit with a low blow, do you ever notice how like the ref will stop, and then like the guy will say, take maybe like 5 or 10 seconds, oh, I'm okay, and he jumps right back into it? It's always the fighter who is getting beat up and who's in a very tough situation, and then they get hit there. That's when someone takes the full five, or that's when someone tries to get out of the fight or whatever. They say, I can't continue, whatever. That's usually what happens. Now, I'm not saying every instance where people get hit there that they're faking, but a lot of times I think fighters do milk it when they get hit there. If they're tired, if they're behind, if they're getting beat up, if they're in a situation where a guy just landed a three-piece on them and then the fourth piece strays low, that's a good opportunity to break the momentum and take a break. I mean, I don't begrudge a fighter for doing that. It's just smart. The rules say you can take 5 minutes, take 5 minutes. My problem is at the end of the fight, he's sitting there saying, oh, well, I got hit low at a horrible time. You know, I thought the fight was turning turning in my favor. So he comes up with all these statements that are just ludicrous. You were clearly losing the fight. Every now and then you would land a good shot, but you were never, ever turning this fight around in your favor, number one. And number two, you said that the punch hit you in the nuts. It didn't hit you in the nuts. It hit you in the leg. So that's my only problem with Khan here is I don't care that he decided to stop fighting, but I don't like the way his commentary after he decided to stop fighting. I don't like the fact that he said, oh, well, Virgil stopped the fight. No, Virgil didn't stop the fight. Virgil stopped the fight because he asked you if you wanted to continue, and you basically said you didn't want to continue. So, of course, he's not going to let you continue if you say you don't want to continue. Now, here's a problem I have with trainers, and I've said this before. Robert Garcia does this a lot, too, is when you don't ask a fighter if he wants to continue. If he looks like he doesn't want to continue, if the body language suggests that he doesn't want to continue, or he's getting beat up to the point where he shouldn't continue but he wants to continue, the trainer just needs to step in, save the fighter a little bit of embarrassment, save the fighter from being put under the gun, so to speak, and just take the reins and just say, hey, you know what, I'm going to stop this fight because I can see that this guy does not want to continue or this guy cannot continue. So when Virgil Hunter was asked, why did you stop the fight, Virgil said, I asked Khan if he was okay, and he said he wasn't, so I stopped the fight. So that's the thing. So Khan says, well, I'm a warrior. I could have continued, but Virgil stopped the fight. Oh, the fight was turning in my favor when he hit, and then he hit me low, and then that was horrible, bad break for me. Oh, hit me in the nuts. So he told about four or five lies in the whole sequence. So that's why you're gonna catch heat, because people don't like to be bullshit. People don't like to be lied to, and I'm not gonna question any man's heart. And I hate when Teddy Atlas, oh, the guy, this is the hurt business. Blah, blah. Teddy, you used to be an amateur fighter. You hurt your back. You stopped boxing. Does that mean you have no heart? No. If you know that you got hurt to the point where if you continue, you're only going to make it worse. Like if you tear a fucking meniscus in your knee, or you blew your ACL out during a fight, and you decide to stop, there's nothing wrong with that, because if you continue, you're only going to tear it more. You're only going to make your meniscus tear be bigger, and then it's going to make the damage worse, and then that's going to make the rehabilitation process longer for yourself. So there's a lot of moving parts to these situations that people don't think about. People love to throw that quitter word around, but let me punch you in the nose, break your nose, and you see if you can continue fighting with a broken nose. Let me break your rib, and you see if you can continue fighting with a broken rib. Some people can't even get out of bed when they have a fucking broken rib. So I'm not going to jump on this quitter thing. I'm not about that. I'm not going to be a fucking Monday morning quarterback. I'm not going to be a fucking armchair quarterback. I'm not going to be a keyboard warrior, conveniently sit behind my laptop and say, oh, this guy's a bum, this guy's a quitter. So easy for fucking guys that have never been in the situation to say that shit. And Teddy Atlas is one of those guys, with all due respect.
How dare you?
And that's the thing. Like I understand people paid money and everything like that. It was a pay-per-view, and you want the guy. But what do you want the guy to do? You want the guy to die in there? There was no way he was going to win that fight. No way. It was a one-sided beatdown. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to see one-sided beatdowns. I just don't like it. I start cringing when I see a guy's head get snapped back. I start cringing when I just see a guy get hit with a three-piece over and over and over and over again. I don't want to see those types of matchups. So I have no problem with the guy stopping. And I wish more trainers would fucking stop the fight and not put the onus on the fighter, because the fighter has so much pride. He doesn't want to go through the embarrassment, or he doesn't want to go through that that blow to his ego knowing that, he stopped. It's not a good feeling knowing that when you say, I can't continue. It bruises your ego. I get that. But like Andre Ward said, there's no moral victories in this game. And now, obviously, it looks better on your record if you lose by decision as opposed to knockout. But it also looks better in life if you get out of there when you can't do anymore, when you get out of there when you're hurt to the point where you're really damaged. So that way, when you retire, that way when you go home to your family, you could put two words and two sentences together. So what would you rather do? Get that badge of honor from the fucking fans who don't give two shits about you because they'll turn their back on you in a second, or you care about taking care of your family? Do you care about being able to talk to your children and talk to your wife when you go home? Or would you want to go home and slur your words? So that's what people need to fucking think about when they throw that quitter word around, that coward word around, that fucking tomato can word around, because you're not the one taking the fucking punches. And I know they signed up for it, but guess what? They did sign up for it, but do you want to see them die? Do you want to see them with brain damage? Do you want to see them slur their words? Do you want to see them fucking walk around with a limp for the rest of their life just to make you fucking happy? Fuck out of here with that shit. I don't want that.
Agreed.
But that's all I got, man.
Agreed, man. I agreed with just about everything you said except the part about Teddy Atlas. I think that was very disrespectful. You know what? Listen, just Notorious BC in the chat just said it the best. Teddy is a fireman. He's been in the fire. And you know what? He's right. How dare you?
Get over your man crush, Eric.
Disrespect Teddy Atlas on this show. Who do you think you are? Please, Robbie. Robert. Did he quit? What did he do? What happened?
No.
Say it.
No, he saw the handwriting on the wall is what he saw. And he got hit way below the belt. I don't know where it landed, but it was way below where it was supposed to be. And, you know, he saw an easy way out. And I just wish that both him and Virgil Hunter would freely admit, you know, hey, we were losing. We couldn't do it. It wasn't our night. But instead, they've got to make up all kinds of excuses. And I think that's horrible. Especially when you're involved in a pay-per-view event, for the money that we have to pay, we need more honesty out of people when things happen instead of making up stories. Don't say you got hit somewhere where you didn't get hit. Own up to it, man. It wasn't your night, you know. Live to fight another day. And as far as fighting another day, I don't think he should. But if he does, and I don't know if I believe this report either, they kept harping all night long on ESPN about, how noble that Amir Khan was because he gave up an $8 million payday to come and fight Terrence Crawford, to fight Cal Brook. Well, I don't know if that kind of money is on the table there. But you know what? I think for both of those guys, both Cal Brook and Amir Khan, they should have one big fight in the UK, and at the end of it, they both should retire. And I honestly think that's where Amir Khan should go. If he fights anymore, that's who he should fight, and then he should leave. Because I don't think he's got much of a future left. I think Khan is kind of delusional, thinking that he can still be involved in major fights. I think you have a retirement fight with Cal Brook, and you both walk away at the end of it, and live your lives, as best you can, and enjoy your families.
Can I jump in for just 2 quick seconds?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just want to make one more point too. It looked as though Crawford was basically outclassing him, in some people's opinions. They don't believe Khan was actually getting beat up. He was getting beat up badly. I kind of disagree with that a little bit, but I respect people's opinions because I will say one thing. During the fight, Crawford was landing some good shots, but they didn't look like, like Julian Jackson type shots. You know what I'm saying? Mike Tyson type shots. But they were lit. He was basically putting them together. It wasn't like he was teeing off on him and loading up with every shot and taking his head off with every shot. Even the punch, the counter right hand that he hit him with, it was more of a sneak shot, and it was still a good shot. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Khan wasn't getting hurt. But then I watched the post-fight press conference, and I looked at Khan's face.
Yeah.
His face had, his whole face was welted. So apparently those punches had to be pretty damaging for his whole face to be welted like that. And I know some guys bruised easier than others, but I'm going to go one further. When have we ever seen Khan's face look like that after a fight? His whole face was covered with welts.
Yeah.
They were big welts. And he's not a guy that generally bruises easy. He's not a fair-skinned guy. He's not a guy that's been cut a lot in fights. He's not a guy that has a lot of scar tissue on his face, right? And even in the Danny Garcia fight, his face wasn't really bruised up that bad. When he got beat up pretty bad in that fight. So Crawford must have been putting that leather on him pretty hard for his whole face to be swelled up like that. His whole face. Go back and watch the post-fight press conference. His whole face was like blotched with welts.
Yeah, he got touched up. And I'll tell you what, he was getting beat up. I don't know if anybody says he was just getting outclassed or whatever. This wasn't like, you know.
I think he was
sometimes like when you see Lomachenko, he makes you quit, or like Pernell Whitaker was the guy that like made you quit, you know. No, this guy was getting hurt. I mean, go take a look at that fourth round and look at those body shots.
Yeah.
Tell me they weren't hurting him. I mean, this guy was getting hurt, man.
Hey, even his shoulders were bruised, too.
Yeah.
So Crawford must have some friggin' pop in those punches.
Oh, for sure. I think so. I mean, yeah, I think so. Now, does he hit as hard as Spence? I mean, that I don't know. But
he hits
pretty hard, I can tell you that. I don't want to be on the business end of the shots, I'll tell you that.
Crawford does have that one-hitter quitter, though, too. He proved it in the Benavidez fight.
So, yeah, he can hit. I mean, he's got power. He's the total package, man.
And he's getting meaner as time goes on. He's carrying a lot of that resentment for not getting that Spence fight, and he's really starting to put it on guys right now. His mean streak has intensified. I mean, he's going out there looking to really hurt people now.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, he's the odds-on favorite to beat anybody in that division, with the exception of maybe Spence, and he might even be favored over Spence. I don't know. But, I mean, who beats him? I don't think anybody beats him in there. I don't think anybody comes close. Nobody comes close, man.
He looks phenomenal.
Yeah. And Khan's, you know, and listen, man, Khan's never really been an easy out for anybody.
No.
But to ruin that guy just like that. And,
he's always put in a good performance, at least for the first 5 or 6 rounds.
What were your thoughts, just real quick, what were your thoughts on Virgil Hunter, in the corner with Khan? I thought he gave him some pretty good advice. I just don't know that he's the right guy for him. I don't know that Virgil Hunter is the right guy for really anybody Andre Ward, you know?
Let me just say this. I mean, again, sometimes we put too much stock into the trainer. Like, we give the trainer too much credit when a guy wins, and we dump on him too much when a guy loses. Let's just look at the backstory here, though. Guys that have gone to Virgil Hunter, outside of Andre Ward, they always went to him coming off of losses. They've always went to him coming off of a bad patch of fights.
Yeah, trying to get reinvented.
In defense of Virgil Hunter, can he really take a guy and recreate him? A guy that's born round, can Virgil Hunter make him square?
Yeah.
So I just don't think you're going to change Khan. And people can say, well, what about Freddie Roach getting these guys? But Freddie Roach gets these guys when they're on the way up. Freddie Roach has never taken a guy on the way down and turned him around and pushed him and made him go the other direction. He's never done that. You know, he's never taken a guy from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, at least Virgil Hunter could say, I took this young kid, 8, 9 years old, and I made him the best fighter in the world, bar none. So I'll always give him credit for that. And maybe he's not the right guy for everybody, Eric. Maybe you could be right. But again, keep in mind what I just said. He's getting these guys when they're on the way down, and he's putting a real tough position. You're asking a guy to take somebody at their lowest or getting close to their lowest and bringing them back up to their highest. So it's a tough ask for anybody to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Robert, what about you? What are your thoughts on Virgil Hunter?
I think he does good corner work. I obviously think he cares about his fighters. But other than Andre Ward, we really haven't seen him really improve anybody. you know, I can't say it any better than Beeb has said it. Normally when the fighters go to him, they're desperate to turn things around. So by the time Virgil Hunter gets them, it's kind of too late to fix them. So to be fair to Virgil Hunter, I think he does what he can with what he's given. We need to see him do more with people starting out, like Freddie Roach has. Then maybe we can find out, you know, what kind of trainer he is. I mean, Andre Ward is, that's something to put on your resume, but as far as I'm concerned, unless there's somebody I don't know about, there's really nobody else you can say, hey, I went to Virgil Hunter and look at my career.
Yeah, where were the prelims for this? Was that on ESPN2 or something to that effect?
Yes, it was. They were on ESPN2, yeah.
If the prelims are any indication of how this pay-per-view is going to do, they may be in some issue. They may be in some trouble.
We've already said they're going to be in trouble because there's no promotion for this.
Right, but we have no proof that they're going to be in trouble until now.
Right.
A .22 was the rating for the prelim fights leading into this pay-per-view card. That is real low, real, real low. Now, the fact that it was on ESPN2, you could take that into account. I don't know how much this pay-per-view does. I mean, I don't know that it does 200,000, though.
No.
I was shocked that it did 200,000.
It'll beat Crawford Postal, but I don't think it'll do much better than that.
Rumored to be around 50,000. Yeah, it was rumored.
Yeah.
We'll know around Wednesday what it's going to come out at, but right now the number is not looking promising. So,
Top Rank and ESPN took a bath. They took a major loss. And let's talk about Mr. Bob Arum while we're on the subject.
That's just where I was going. Go ahead, Robert.
You talk about somebody that's desperate to get his fighter a fight. His post-fight interview in the ring shows how desperate that Bob Arum really is. He basically tells the world, we want Errol Spence. I want to make that fight. I'm able to make that fight. Terrence Crawford wants that fight. Errol Spence wants the fight. He says, there's only one man that doesn't want this fight, and it's Al Haymon. And then he proceeds to tell the worldwide audience and the 14,091 that were in Madison Square Garden, hey, don't go to any more Al Haymon events until this fight is made. I mean, how desperate is that? Look, Don King and Bob Arum fought for years. But when push came to shove, they found a way to make fights when necessary. Bob is just, he's out of his mind desperate because he knows he has absolutely nothing to offer Terrence Crawford. There's nobody on the Top Rank side of things that he can fight. He's already fought everybody the Top Rank has. So he's desperate. So he's going to use any means necessary to try to get Haymon and company to make the fight. Go ahead, Eric, if you want to add anything else. But I think it just shows utter desperation on Bob's part.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a good look for sure. You know, it's not a good look for sure. But the irony about it is, you know, PBC put on Spence Garcia that same night, in which we'll talk about. They had Danny Garcia.
No, they put on Garcia Granados. It was Garcia Granados.
They put on Spence Garcia on pay-per-view.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going. Sorry.
Robbie, go sit in the corner for that now.
Right?
That's at least a 10-minute time up because you weren't paying attention.
You weren't paying attention, and you just...
All right.
Lois, get Robbie at Speak and Spell, California. Send it, please.
There it is. Send it to him. There it is. All right, so what they put on that pay-per-view this weekend, they had Danny Garcia versus Adrian Granados. They had that card. A good portion of their cards are all free, and they're good fights. I don't think you can argue, I don't think anybody can argue right now, all right, that the PBC has done a better job than anybody else up till this point in the year. Now, with DAZN and with the World Boxing Super Series, which I'm a huge fan of, and Canelo and everything, listen, that may all change. But as of right today, I think with the fights that have already taken place and the fight, I mean, listen, they've done a better job. ESPN has given us nonsense, straight-up nonsense on this thing. And to put this on pay-per-view, Crawford Khan, I'm speaking of, is ridiculous. And Arum wants us to stop and boycott PBC so that we can pay $70.
What a jackass.
$70 to watch this on our TV, which we all agreed going in was not a pay-per-view worthy fight. All agreed going in it was not a pay-per-view caliber fight. No way. And we watched it. And it turned out to be what? Not a pay-per-view caliber fight. Didn't even, I mean, it was terrible. The undercard was terrible. No, on paper, the undercard was good. So you can't really hold that, hey, sometimes the fights pan out, sometimes they don't. This was not a pay-per-view worthy main event, though. We watched it anyway because we're derelicts. We're junkies. You know, we like boxing. But, you know, again, man, we.
Isn't that sad, Eric?
It is. It really is. It's like, we need to go to like a 12-step program. You know, I need to ship every month.
Lois, book me for an appointment next Wednesday from that therapist, please. Thank you.
I want to go to that rehab in California, that Shadows or whatever, where you're on the beach and everything like that. I'm going to be there. Everybody's strung out on heroin or something like that. I'm going to be like, yeah, I watched too many pay-per-views in boxing. You know?
Yes, Lois, the Mayo Clinic in Boston. Yes, thank you.
Beeb talking to his blow-up doll again.
Lois, he didn't mean that, Lois. He didn't mean that, Lois. Don't listen to him.
He thinks he's Clark Kent.
He's a misogynist, Lois.
Yeah, I'm a misogynist. Yeah, so Bob Arum, if you think I'm going to boycott the PBC, and just what, you got to be kidding me. Are you kidding me? Because I'll tell you what, I'm watching Spence versus, whatchamacallit, Spence versus, who is it, who's coming up next for him? Porter. Spence.
Porter, yep.
So, yeah, there you go. Let's talk about this undercard while we're at it. Teofimo Lopez, we'll kind of zoom through this, versus Edith Totley. Lopez wins by fifth round TKO and body shot. Listen, man, Lopez looks good. He passes the eye test. He looks like the real deal. I just don't think he's ready for Loma yet, man. And I think the more they push that fight, they're going to get, you know, this kid's going to lose. And I don't know, man. I think they're rushing him, but who am I? I don't know.
Yeah, in July, he's supposed to fight Comey. Let's see how he comes out of that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Shakur Stevenson versus Christopher Diaz. Stevenson wins the unanimous decision 100-90, 99-91, and 98-92. This was supposed to be the one where they were really concerned. Shakur's handlers were really concerned about this fight. They did not want him to take the fight. And wow, did he pass this with flying colors. You know, he really passed us with flying colors. He looked really good in this.
Yes, he did.
Felix Verdejo versus Brian Vasquez. Listen, man, I'm not saying that Vasquez won this fight, but 97-93 twice and 98-92 for Verdejo, who won a unanimous decision, I think that might have been a little, far away. I don't know. I wasn't scoring it, but as I was watching the fight, I thought it was pretty close, but, you know. I don't know. All right, let's talk about the Fox card. PBC on Fox. Danny Garcia versus Adrian Granados. Garcia wins via seventh round stoppage. And my God, I did not expect this at all. You want to talk about another guy who never really gets dominated? You're talking about Adrian Granados.
Yeah.
So on paper, this fight had all the makings of a really solid fight. Wow, Danny Garcia looked good. Danny Garcia looked very good, and I did not expect that. And, you know, again, this is one of those things where we all expected Garcia to win. I expect him to win because of the weight advantage. You know, Granados is usually a 140-pounder coming up. He's not 147 is not a good weight for him. His best is at 140. You know, but he moved up, and, you know, it is what it is. But the way he was beaten by Garcia was just like, man, he just took him apart. Never seen Granados get manhandled like that. Robert? What is your take on this?
That's exactly right. I mean, every time you see the name Adrian Granados in a fight, you know it's going to be good. Look at the trouble he gave Sean Porter. I mean, and Sean Porter is bigger than Danny Garcia. With the way Porter fights, he's more physical. And Granados gave him fits. Another fight that Adrian probably should not have been in. But Danny just, wow. I mean, I've never seen Adrian Granados on the canvas. And he was put on the canvas 3 different times. And when he got hit with that first knockdown, I thought, oh, my God, it's over already, you know. And credit to him for surviving it for as long as he did. I don't know what they're going to do with Danny Garcia because, you know, if Porter ends up fighting Spence and Thurman ends up fighting Manny Pacquiao, I don't know who's going to fight Danny Garcia next, but Danny looked – that's the best I've seen him in quite a while. So congratulations to him.
And he had mentioned Pacquiao's name after the fight, so who knows where Pacquiao's going.
Yeah.
Maybe Pacquiao fights Thurman. Maybe Thurman goes on another hiatus. Who knows? Beeb, what were your thoughts on Danny Garcia? Was that the best? I mean, that's, you know, honestly, man, that's one of the best I've ever seen Danny Garcia look. And again, I mean, we're talking about Adrian Granados here. Well, I don't care what weight he's coming up from, man. He's no chump, and he can fight, and he just got taken apart, man.
If you were going to make a montage of Danny Garcia, this would be the fight you would take most of the clips, because this was perfection. You say what you want. I don't care. He was a 30-1 favorite. But going in, you and I both said,
yep,
this could be a tough fight for him because of styles. And this was anything but a tough fight for him. This was just a beautiful display of boxing skills. Because he sliced him up. He picked him apart. You know, he went in there and just dissected Granados. Who goes in there and takes Granados apart like that? I mean, I don't know. This one, you know what this reminded me of? Coach C, when he calls in every week and takes you apart. This was like identical. This was identical to that. Like every time when I have Lois pass me the towel and I throw it in, this is like Coach C taking you to school, taking you apart like a jigsaw.
You know what it reminded me of? You know what it reminded me of?
I don't care.
Corey chopping you up last week. That's what it reminded me of. Boy, oh, he put it on you bad, man. That was messed up the way Corey took on you last week.
That ain't going to work, Eric. Come on.
I mean, he ripped you up, man. I felt bad for you. In fact, I don't know. I'll be honest, man. I don't even know if I would let Corey call in again.
Who,
I feel so bad.
Who, Corey, Monday morning quarterback, Lee?
No.
Corey, Monday morning quarterback,
Lee. Not around to defend himself. Not even around to defend himself. Look at, I don't think shot at Coach C.
Because he's on a milk carton, that's why. Every time a fighter.
Using my word.
He's on a milk carton. I saw him in a bunker the other day. He was hiding because of freaking that Mikey Garcia pick.
The Mikey Garcia pick. How good is the fight between Terrence Crawford and Danny Garcia? How good would that fight be? Oh.
Hey, I hope we get to see it.
Man, that's a killer, boy. That is a killer fight.
But
the undercard here, Brandon Figueroa versus Yanfres Parejo. Figueroa wins by 8th round stoppage. Figueroa looked very vulnerable. Got hit. Some people said he looked great. I didn't think he looked great at all. I thought he got hit too much. And once he's in there with anybody against, I don't know, man. I don't like guys that just get hit too much.
One person said he looked great. You know, we all.
Yeah, Jason said he looked great. Yeah.
No, the only thing I'll give Brandon Figueroa credit for is he fights a lot better than his brother. You know, and let's face it, his brother is he needs a lot of help also. But he needs to learn how to work on defense. He gets hit way too much. I mean, yeah, he won the fight. But now he's going to be a mandatory challenger for somebody for a world title.
Yeah,
and what's going to happen when that fight takes place? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's ready for championship level competition.
Right.
You know, I hate to say that about somebody that just earned a mandatory shot, but look at who he beat.
Mm. Mm. Andy Ruiz versus Alexander Dimitrienko. Ruiz wins via fifth round TKO. Is Ruiz a new Big Baby Miller? How much did he come in at? What was his weight?
262.
All right, that's not too bad. I guess.
Well, he's losing weight, Eric. He's trying very hard. He was up to 300, man. He's down by 262. He lost a lot of weight.
Matter of fact, they said when he made his pro debut, I didn't know this, but they said when he made his pro debut, and I don't know how many years ago this was, but he's 340 pounds. Now he's down to 262. So.
And you don't want to give the guy credit, man. He's been purchasing the Mega Fit meals.
He's been on the B plan. Mega Fit meals.
Make sure you guys check out Mega Fit Meals, megafitmeals.com.
And what I found interesting, Eric, is after the fight, he called out Adam Konatsky. Do you think Konatsky is ready for somebody like Andy Ruiz?
I don't know if Andy Ruiz is ready for somebody like Konatsky. I think Konatsky beats him.
I do too, but I found that interesting, you know.
That's right. Gonzalo Anaya says that Andy Ruiz is Eric Lord of the Battle of the Mexican Americans. There you go. There you go. Me and Ruiz are going to scrap. All right. All right. Let's talk about the upcoming fights here. Oh, man. This is insane. Robert, are you sitting down, Robert?
Yes, I am.
I'm glad you did.
Please,
April 24th, Wednesday, baby. TBE, the best in the world, the best ever. Wanhang Menayothin, undefeated. Was he 52, 53-0, something crazy?
Something like that, yeah.
Versus Tatsuya Fukuhara. It's a rematch, 12 rounds. He lost. He's going to come back and lose again for Menayothin's WBC strawweight title. Steve, he's the best in the world. Undefeated. TBE. Best ever.
What channel's that on, Eric?
No TV.
Well, that's on WCTL out of Thailand.
You get that shit on DirecTV?
Nope. Sure, we don't get that channel on DirecTV.
So why are you getting my juices flowing? You're trying to get me all pumped up. And then I can't even watch this fight.
But?
What a tease. What a tease you are. You promise?
Yes, I promise.
Don't tease me now.
Absolutely.
It's not a big day I get to see the TBE.
TBE, son. That's where it's at.
I get to do a show with the TBE every week with Robert, but I mean, I don't get
that. Oh, what about me? I thought you were talking about me, TBE. I'm the champ. I'm a champ.
I just pulled that fake win off me, man.
Hey, me and Beavis have been doing shows, Eric, for 7 years, man. But, you know, it's like.
That's right. Even Robbie recognized on the TV. Thank you, Robbie. April 25th, Thursday, Las Vegas on UFC Fight Pass. Conor Coyle versus Robert Burwell, 8 rounds middleweights. And Mukurban Sanginov versus the dreaded TBA. Okay. Let's see what else here. April 26th. This is Friday, right, Robert?
That is correct, yep.
It is. DAZN getting in the mix from Inglewood, Robbie Stomping Grounds. Srisaket Sorungvisai versus Juan Francisco Estrada. Rematch, 12 rounds for Rungvisai's WBC Junior Bantamweight title. Daniel Roman versus TJ Doheny, 12 rounds for the WBA IBF Junior Featherweight Unification. Wow, look at the zone getting in on the action. Jesse Vargas versus Humberto Soto, 10 rounds junior middleweights. Anthony Sims Jr. versus the dreaded TDA. And let's see what else we got here. From Florence, Italy, also on the zone, Fabio Turchi versus Jean-Jacques Oliveira, 12 rounds cruiserweights. Who's putting that card on?
I don't know.
That's not MTK. Who is that? Who cares?
Sorry, Eric. I don't know.
Yeah, who cares? We'll come back to the featherweights here in a minute. Let's see what else. April 27th, London, ESPN Plus Saturday. Daniel Dubois versus Richard Lartey, 10 rounds heavyweights. Sonny Edwards versus Pedro Matos, 10 rounds, junior bantamweight. So this is going to be on ESPN Plus. And let's see here. April 27th, Saturday on the Zone, the World Boxing Super Series. Kiro Relic versus Regis Prograis, 12 rounds for Relic's WBA junior welterweight title. And this is the World Boxing Super Series semifinals. That is going to be a good, good fight. Also on the card, Zelane Tete versus Nonito Demer, 12 rounds for the WBO, WBA bantamweight unification.
Very good fight. Yep.
Friend of the show, Sonny Fredrickson versus Baitar Urubov, 10 rounds, junior welterweights. And there you go. Mason Menard also on the card versus David Paz, 6 rounds, lightweights. Showtime, April 27th. Is this weekend packed or what?
Yeah.
Boxing week, baby. You got the best of that, the best of all time. Manny Yotham fighting. April 27th from Las Vegas on Showtime. Title Town Zone. Robert Easter Jr. versus Rancis Bartholomew. 12 rounds for the vacant WBA regular lightweight title. Your boy, Victor Postol versus Muhammad Minune.
Oh, he's back? Wow, he's back.
12 rounds.
Yeah, he signed with the PBC,
Robert.
Please, 12 rounds for the WBC junior welterweight eliminator. The boy, F.A. Ajagba, the man.
Wow.
Heavyweight boy. Is this guy looking good or what? This guy's looking good. He's must-see TV. Versus Michael Wallace, 10 rounds heavyweights. You got to watch him. You got to tune in just for that. Just for that.
Yeah, to see if there's another Curtis Harper in the ring that runs out of the ring as soon as the bell rings.
Please, Robert.
Yeah, right? All right, let's see here. All right, let's start with the Zone, April 26th, Friday. This is good, man. Swissa Ketsoa Rungvisai versus Juan Francisco Estrada. It's a rematch.
I like that.
Rungvisai's WBC junior bantamweight title. I don't know, man. This is going to be I can't wait for this fight. It's going to be such a good fight. I'm leaning toward Estrada in this fight. I'm leaning toward
it. Wow, you are?
I am because I thought that last fight was super, super close. But Rungvisai, man, he's got power. I've never seen, he was able to do to Rungvisai what I've never seen anybody do since the Chocolatito fight, obviously. But he was able, he was really able to kind of pick him apart in the later rounds, I thought. So I'm looking forward to this fight. That first one was back and forth. Very good fight. Beeb, tell me about it.
I'm going with Rungvisai. I just think that Rungvisai is, I think he's better from a distance. I think he can throw the long sneaky punches from the outside. I think Rungvisai is a pretty decent counter puncher too, and I just think Estrada is definitely a great fighter too. But he's more of an inside guy, where I think Rungvisai can kind of do both. So that's where I think Rungvisai will be able to do some good work from the outside here. And Rungvisai, when he wants to, he can be defensively responsible. I thought in the who's the guy's name there? Chocolatito fight, in the second fight, I thought he fought a very measured fight in that fight. And I think he kept Chocolatito on the outside, and he was landing some bombs from the outside. So, and plus, this guy is very heavy-handed, too. I think Estrada is more of a guy that likes to put in a high work rate and grind you down, whereas Rungvisai, I think, can hurt you with single shots. So should be an interesting fight, but I think Rungvisai's got a little bit too much. I think he's a little more too versatile. I think he's got more ways to win. I think he's got more tools in the toolbox to bring to this dance. So
I like Rungvisai a lot. I do. I really like him a lot, man. And I hope he wins. I like him, man. He's good. He's a really, really talented guy.
He should win.
I'm going to go with Rungvisai here. I enjoyed the first fight. It was a hell of a fight. Razor close. But I think Rungvisai is going to make up for any mistakes that he might have made in the first fight, and I think he wins. It might be another close decision, but you got to take the title from the champion, baby, and I don't know if Estrada can pull it off. He's a hell of a fighter, but I think Rumbisai wins and keeps his title.
I would be surprised if Rumbisai knocks him out.
I don't know. He's got power. You see that guy's legs, like Rumbisai's legs, they're huge.
Oh, yeah, they are.
He's a big guy, man. All right, let's talk about the Lafayette, Louisiana DAZN card, the World Boxing Super Series, Kiro Relic versus Regis Prograis. I think Prograis walks right through Relic. I really do. I think Prograis is him, and he's got to be maybe the odds-on favorite. Prograis does, but I think Prograis walks right through Relic, man.
I like Prograis.
Yeah, no, Regis Prograis is going to blow him out.
Yeah, I don't even think that fight's close, man. I think he blows him out. I like Prograis a lot. I'm really high on him. Is it Josh Taylor?
Yeah.
Josh Taylor is the other guy.
He's good.
That I think he's the only guy that's going to beat Prograis in this whole series.
You like Taylor over Prograis?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like Prograis.
Solid boxer.
Yeah, I like.
That's with that guy.
I kind of like Prograis, but it's going to be a tough one.
Toss up, man. It's a toss up.
Yeah. Tough fight.
Zolani Tete versus Nonito Donaire. Listen, man, I've always said Tete. I like him. I think he's the guy. I think he beats Donaire, and I think he beats him up. And I think it goes to a decision, but I think Donaire's best days are behind him, man. That's not to say he can't fight anymore, obviously. Obviously he can. But I don't think he's the same guy as he was years ago, and I guess none of us are really. But, you know, I think Tete's the guy coming up, man. I think Tete's the guy. I think he wins, and I think he wins a unanimous decision.
I like Tete.
Yeah, no, Tete's going to win, and Eric will collect another pie from good old Georgie.
That was a long time ago. I don't even know if that bet still stands.
Oh, here we go again. Here we go again, looking for back doors. Eric, backdoor Eric.
Listen, I defended my title more than anyone else on the show. But
that being said,
that I defended my title, I'm really the only one who keeps the title. To defend. Everybody is like one and done with it.
You lost it.
Yeah, but everybody was still one and done. I won it right back.
You pull out your chalk bets. When all else fails, you put on your chalk bets.
Oh, man.
You're like Ric Flair back in the day. when he had the title. He kept cheating and all these cheap tricks to keep to hold on to it. And the referee's not looking. He pulls out a freaking roll of quarters and knocks the guy in the mouth. And then he goes, that's you. That's how you defend the title. Cheap
Robert, you know what they say? Winners tell jokes, losers say deal. You know what I mean? That's how it goes.
Yeah, well, Eric, I think this is going to be a rather easy title defense. So nothing to worry about here.
That's right. All right, and what about the last one on Showtime here? Robert Easter Jr., Title Town Zone, friend of the show, versus Francis Bartholomew, 12 rounds for the vacant WBA regular lightweight title. I think Easter wins. I'm real curious to see how Easter looks in this fight. I think, you know, Bartholomew is no pushover. Bartholomew's a really talented guy. He's quick. He knows what he's doing in there. I think this is a good fight. It's a good fight. I think Easter wins the unanimous decision, though.
I think Robert Easter will win because he'll have quite the height and reach advantage over Bartholomew. And I don't know how Bartholomew is going to be able to work. I don't know if he'll be able to get on the inside. I think Easter will be able to control the ring.
Yeah, he should be able to control that range pretty well with the jab. What about you, Beebe?
I like Easter too, yeah.
Yeah, we're all well in the title town. That's how it goes. Everybody gets on that bandwagon. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors here. The big news, obviously, this week is Big Baby Miller tested positive for not one, not two, three substances. This guy had three. He was just, like, taking stuff off the shelf and shoving it in his mouth. I mean, like, what was he doing, man? He tested positive for GW-1516, which was like a pharmaceutical back in the day, and they were using it for testing, and it was going to be used for diabetes and what was it? I don't know. It wasn't hypertension. It was something else, maybe high blood pressure or something. I don't know. But it was supposed to, like, give you more endurance and that kind of thing. Then he tested positive for HGH, the human growth hormone, the one that Barry Bonds took, and his head was all out of, you know, disoriented now. It's, like, huge. It's, you know, disjointed now. It's, like, three times the normal size. And then EPO, which that was stuff that Lance Armstrong got busted. Robert, were you upset
That's
when
right.
you found out Lance Armstrong
yep.
cheated?
Yeah, I know. He cheated, and you know what? He got away with it for years because everybody believed his lies.
Yep. Yep, his boy dropped dime on him. Floyd Landis. Yep. That's your boy. Floyd Landis dropped dime on him. What do you think of that, Dave? You backing Floyd Landis in this fight? Huh?
I don't like – back where I'm from, we don't drop dimes here in the Boston area.
No.
That's all it is. I mean, there's a code we live by over here.
The Whitey Bulger code?
Four corners.
That's right.
Four corners, stand up.
Four corners, stand up.
This is code we live in, man. I mean, if you're facing a bid, you got to do the time, man. You can't rat.
What really blows me away about this whole thing, Eric, is – you know, he threw away, what, $6-7 million? And,
at least.
And you throw away a shot at not one, not two, but three heavyweight title belts? I mean, don't you get into boxing for this kind of shot? You know, don't you fight all these fights and win all these fights to get the phone call from the heavyweight champion saying, okay, it's your turn to fight? And then you go and sabotage yourself like this. The one I feel bad for here are the people. I feel bad for the people who bought the tickets. I feel bad for Anthony Joshua, you know, because this is his United States debut, and now they're probably going to have to find somebody off the streets for him to fight. And I wonder how much money New York is going to lose now on this fight, because people are going to be trying to get rid of their tickets as fast as they can if you can't find another big name heavyweight to step in the ring with him.
Well, I mean, maybe yes and maybe no. I mean, he's still Anthony Joshua, and this is still a big fight. You know what I mean? I mean, this is still a big fight. I mean, it's Anthony Joshua. So let's talk about this for a second. So they're searching for AJ and Briggs. Weeks back just said AJ and Briggs in the chat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony Joshua searching for his next opponent, man. The two that are being thrown around is Michael Hunter and Manuel Char. Those are the odds-on favorite to replace Miller. Now, could they come out with – and they're expected to say something Tuesday. Rafael Dawkins just said Andy Ruiz is in talks with Eddie Hearn about replacing Miller, but, again, I don't have any proof of that, and I'm not saying he's lying or anything like that.
Wouldn't Suleiman have a fit if Emmanuel Char hadn't been fighting all this time, and all of a sudden he gets a shot at Joshua?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, that Emmanuel Char and his people have been pushing really hard. I'm getting press releases every day in my mailbox about Manuel Char and about how they're really trying to push this fight. They really, really want this fight. And Char's got that WBA regular title. That would be a voluntary defense, I guess, for AJ. Not a voluntary, but mandatory.
Mandatory, yeah.
Mandatory, yeah.
So you know what he would do if he took Char? He gets rid of another mandatory. So that's one less excuse for later on when they want to make the Wilder fight or Fury fight.
Hang on one second. He just says he's breaking news. Let me see if I can go to give me one second here. Let me see if I can find this story. Rafael, where are you seeing the story at? Because I don't see it. Twitter?
You can't believe everything on Twitter, guys.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be announced tomorrow what the opponent is.
Are you seeing this, Dean? Are you seeing
no,
it? I'm not seeing it.
I didn't see it, but
I'm not seeing it anyway.
I'm just gonna wait till tomorrow.
I saw it on Twitter. I saw it on Andy Ruiz's Twitter.
Yeah, and you, see, that's, yeah, you can't buy that. You can't take that to the bank.
Yeah, and he's saying worry thought or whatever. I don't know if I put much stock into that. In fact,
right.
I don't put any stock into that source right,
right
there. But I'm sorry, man. I just don't.
Give us a legitimate source, you know?
Wow. Wow, we're just piling on. But I'm hearing Michael Hunter and Manuel Char. I hope it's not Michael Hunter, but it may be because he's a U.S. guy. I don't know. But you can't blame, I tell you what, you can't blame Joshua for this. You can't blame him for this. No matter
absolutely
who he takes, cannot blame him for this. And Louis Ortiz turned the fight down, from what I understand. Said there wasn't
enough
time.
I love his excuse. The heavyweight champion calls you, offers you a fight. Oh, I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say, where do I sign, man? Come on.
Right. Yeah, seriously, like, what, I mean, what, are people pounding down your door? I mean, really? Like, why, you can't get ready in 6 weeks? You know what I mean? What do you mean you can't get ready? What do you mean you ain't ready? This is an opportunity of a lifetime. This is your second chance. Some people don't get a shot at one. You're looking at two now. I can't get ready. I can't.
Yeah, right. Come on, people.
I can't.
How many people legitimately would hang up the phone if the heavyweight champion called you and said, it's your turn, it's your shot? I mean, I don't know of anybody that would say, oh, no, I'm not interested. Come on, are you nuts?
Yeah, I agree. All right, train wreck of the week this week. Elena is up in the spa upstairs. She ain't coming down anytime soon. So.
Oh, no.
We'll do this with the train. I'll just do the train wreck of the week here. No sound effects.
I can't do it.
No.
No.
Let me do it, man. Please.
No. All the animals are
gone. Chugga. Choo choo.
Oh God.
Oh, that was incredible, huh, guys? You have an octave level on my choo-choo? The high pitch?
That was really, really bad. I don't mean like, I mean it was like depressing. Like when I read the paper or watch the news and I see like a horrible story come up and you kind of get depressed like when a tsunami hits or something, that's the kind of way I feel now. After
or like the, church bombing yesterday.
Oh, how dare you? I wasn't going to go there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Please,
oh, terrible. That's terrible. Wow, he went there. Oh, that's terrible.
Go sit in the corner for 15 minutes after that one, Robbie. Go sit in the corner.
That's another level, son. Wow, you just went deep on that one.
That's horrible.
Jacked up. Jacked up, son.
Hey, that's what I do.
That was, man. That was jacked up. And you got nothing to say about it.
Man, hit that fucking like button.
Man, that's
right. Just hit it.
MegaFit Meals, guys. MegaFitMeals.com.
Yeah, MegaFitMeals.com. Beeb, so tell us, all right, let's do the train wreck of the week, and then Beeb, tell us about MegaFit Meals. All right, so train wreck of the week this week. We all know that Big Baby tested positive for 3 substances. We know this, all right? Why isn't he train wreck of the week? Because somebody upped it. Somebody upped the level, just like Robert did just a minute ago. Somebody took it to another level of stupidity. Robert, do you think that's possible?
Considering he tested positive for 3, somebody else had to do something a lot more serious than that.
3. Train wreck of the week this week, Jarrell Miller's promoter, Serafina, stated the following, quote, "With all of that being said, it's hard for me not to think he's being nailed to the cross because he's an African-American fighter."
Oh, whoa. Whoa.
Rob it.
Mm. She said this. this airhead said this. Now, maybe you're thinking the same thing I am. You know, Anthony Joshua, black too. Jarrell Miller's black. There's two black guys fighting. One's like a black guy and a white guy, or a black guy and a Mexican. What are you talking about? What on earth are you talking about? He's being nailed to the cross. He was tested positive for three, not one, not even two, three, son, three banned substances, illegal substances. But they're saying it's because he's African-American. Shut up.
And, you know, I this is one thing I hate about our sport. Whenever something happens and they can't, nobody can defend it, some whack job has to come out and use the race card. I mean, really? I mean, boxing has enough problems. I can remember when Jerry Cooney fought Larry Holmes. They made a whole fight promotion on white versus black.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. Are we still living in the quote-unquote dark ages where we're behind the times? I mean, what business does somebody's race have to do with their ability to fail drug tests? I mean, really. Especially when the heavyweight champion, well, both heavyweight champions, you can throw Deontay Wilder into the mix. Both heavyweight champions are currently African-American.
Right.
So promoting an African-American fighter who got the shot of a lifetime and he self-sabotaged himself, and you're his promoter and you come out and you use this, maybe you shouldn't be his promoter anymore. Maybe you shouldn't promote fighters, period. People like this should keep their mouth closed. This is stupidity on another level.
Straight up moron, son. Straight up moron. That's why she's train wreck of the week. Beeb.
There's just no excuse for this. No excuse for this. I mean, the guy, this is the thing. And I'm going to try to be as, I don't know, reserved with my commentary as possible. And I'm going to try to not be too hard on Jarrell Miller, because although it's very hard to not be, but this is the thing. We talk about fighters all the time. And, you know, a lot of fans will say, well, this guy's ducking that guy. This guy's afraid of that guy, whatever. And then you'll hear promoters and you hear other fighters say, well, no one's really afraid of anyone in this sport. You know, all guys want to fight each other. I mean, so it's just about the business. But this guy didn't take one. He didn't take two. He took three highly potent PEDs going into this fight with Anthony Joshua. Am I going to come out and say he's afraid of Anthony Joshua? No, I'm not. But I have to say this. He had to be concerned about something about Anthony Joshua in order to have to take three PEDs in preparation for this fight. And you signed up for VADA as well, which is probably the best drug testing agency out there right now. They look how many people they've caught. Look how many boxers they've caught. Look how many UFC fighters they've caught. I know UFC used USADA, but sometimes they use VADA too. What were you thinking, and how could you have possibly thought that you were going to get away with it, number one? And number two, I kind of stick to my original statement that possibly he sabotaged himself here, because he knew that VADA was going to be testing him. And he's taking a substance like HGH, which is the easiest substance to detect on any drug test. So I just don't get it. So for her to try to defend this, the words can't describe how idiotic it sounds for anyone to try to defend him here. And then she wants to bring up what Canelo did. Canelo took clenbuterol, okay? This guy took three PEDs as opposed to Canelo taking. I've never seen any fighter get busted for 3 PEDs over the course of the testing protocol. I just never seen it.
Never. Juice to the gills, son.
This is unprecedented, man. It's unprecedented. So,
Speaking of PEDs, you look like you're on some Mexican supplements here lately. Is that right?
Yeah. I guess.
What are you eating these days?
Well, I've been buying these Mega Fit meals, and I will confess that, you know, I go on YouTube a lot, and I sometimes watch body, like, fitness channels, and I watch a lot of bodybuilders channels. Jay Cutler, the 4-time Mr. Olympia, has a YouTube channel, and he talks about these Mega Fit meals a lot. So I said, you know what? I'm not really a big fan of a lot of these food prep companies because the food's just very bland. It's kind of basic. There's no taste to it. But I said, I kind of looked at some of the meals he was showing on his YouTube videos. I said, wow, these don't look too bad. This looks like really good stuff. So I checked it out, megafitmeals.com, and I went out there, and you can buy, like, packs of meals. You can buy 12-packs, 16-packs, 20-packs, and 28-packs. I first started out buying a 12-pack, and the thing was gone. The 12-pack was gone in 5 days. That's how much I enjoyed these meals. I really liked them. And then I bought a 20-pack. That was gone in about 3 weeks. So now every month I'm buying about a 28-pack, and these meals are great. They have, like, the steak and fry meal, which is like they take red bliss potatoes and they make French fries out of them, and they don't put much oil on them. They have, like, Angus steak. They have South of the Border steak, which is steak, jasmine rice, guacamole, and they have, like, a pico gallo, like a little salsa type thing. They have grilled shrimp meals with
pico gallo.
Pico de gallo. Thank you. You're Mexican. Give me
that together.
They have, like, fiesta turkey. They have a hibachi steak. They have the Jay Cutler signature bowl, which is like a chicken, peppers, and onions, and a nice teriyaki sauce.
That sounds pretty good.
So they have a lot of great meals, man. Like, they have chicken and sweet potatoes, sweet like Splenda. They have roasted asparagus. You can make your own meals too. You can get, like, roasted chicken. You can with sweet potatoes. You can get baked potato. You can get rice. You can get brown rice. There's a lot of stuff that you can get from this company, and it's not like bland. Like, bland, really just health food that has no taste to it. It's really good stuff. They season the food beautifully, and all there's no preservatives, there's no chemicals, there's no additives to the food. So they're like $8 and $12 each meal. Like, some meals are like $8, some meals are like $10, some meals are $12. But they're really, it's still not bad for what you get. I mean, it's really high quality ingredients. And the meals come in a box. They're frozen, and they have, like, ice pack bags in them when they're packed. And when I get the meals, they're still frozen solid, so they're still, you know, safe and everything. They're not thawed out or anything. Throw them in the freezer. You pull them out. It takes about maybe 12 hours for them to thaw out. Maybe a day. Give it a day or so. And pop them in the microwave for 3 or 4 minutes, or you can saute in a skillet if you want. And they taste fabulous. So. I'm going to be promoting these meals. I'm actually an account rep for them right now. So every show, I'm going to be putting a link in the description box so you can click and check out these meals. And we're going to be doing advertising for these guys every week, and we're just going to be giving them a shout out, and make sure you guys check out megafitmeals.com. And we're going to encourage you guys to try these meals and hopefully purchase them and get them in your rotation. You know.
There you go. Absolutely.
I like the sound of that. I'll have to check some of those out.
That's right. Robbie, in the listen and everything like that, he's going to love
it. Yeah, they're good because, I mean, sometimes you get home late and you don't feel like cooking. So instead of going to McDonald's, you can just pop one of these in the microwave and you don't feel guilty. I mean, I'm not saying you can never eat McDonald's again, but sometimes, when you come home, you just grab whatever's there. At least you can grab something good, you know, and then you go to bed. In a full stomach, but you don't feel like crappy. Sometimes when you eat McDonald's, you feel crappy after you eat it.
Right.
And especially if you eat it late at night and you're going to bed, you don't want to feel crappy before you go to bed, because generally you wake up in the morning feeling crappy. So it is what it is.
good stuff. And they're all well-balanced meals and everything like that. And they're meant to, you know, if you're really active, if you're into lifting weights and everything like that, like Beeb said, the who's the bodybuilder? What was his name? Jay Cutler. Uses these meals and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, definitely check them out, megafitmeals.com, correct?
Yes, megafitmeals.com. I'm going to be putting a link in the description box.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, back to boxing here. Dillian White versus Oscar Rivas is set. Beeb, is this a good fight?
I think so. I think it's a decent fight. I don't hate it.
I don't know. I'd rather see Dillian. I mean, we all want to see Dillian White fight for a title again, but I'd like to see him fight Wilder. And why that fight couldn't be made, why he didn't go to PBC and get this fight done, I'll never know. You know, a lot of these guys, they talk and talk, but they sabotage themselves. They really do. I mean, you know where it's at and everything like that, so I don't know. I don't get it, man. Surprise of the week here, I was shocked. When I read about this next story, it's one of those things that you just can't believe when you read it. You're like, my gosh, that never happens. And yeah, I'll just explain it to you. Amir Imam, a young master, is suing Don King for fraud and deceptive business practices. Imam wants to get out of his contract with Don King. Robert, we've seen Don King a long time. We've known of his business practices and everything like that. Were you surprised when you heard this story?
I know, because everybody does this to Don King. You name the fighter, they've sued Don King. You know, I don't look. I don't know why anybody would sign with Don King anymore. I mean, I really don't.
You've got to be an absolute moron to sign the line with Don King. I mean, Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes, Julio Cesar Chavez, they all fallen out with Don King, every last one of them.
George Foreman, you know.
All of them.
Yep.
They've all fallen out with Don King. Why do you think that is? Remember Larry Holmes was talking about Don King, and he said that he was charging him locker room fees, towel fees. I mean, like, all of this crazy stuff.
Did you see the Tim Witherspoon thing?
No.
There's a movie. Tim Witherspoon, I think, is the only guy that ever beat him in court. He won a $3 million lawsuit against him because of the conflict of interest, because this is, I'm sure you know, that's why the Muhammad Ali Act was put in place, because his son Carl King was the manager. He was the promoter. So Carl King was his manager, and he felt as though he wasn't working in the best interest of him. He was working in the best interest of, obviously, the promoter. So he was supposed to, he ended up signing, and he was supposed to get, like, a specific amount, and I think what happened was, he same thing that you're saying, he got all these fees of the managerial fee, training expenses, you know, fucking, I don't know, everything. He listed a whole bunch of, it's on YouTube, the documentary about Tim Witherspoon. Just Google.
Check that out.
Yeah, just search through a search for Tim Witherspoon sues Don King or whatever. It's a whole documentary. And he ended up taking the court and winning, and he got like a $3 million settlement with Don King.
Well, you remember the trick he used to pull? He used to take duffel bags full of $50,000, like in cash, go to the fighter that was suing him for like $10 million, and say, let's settle out of court. And they would take the money, because they had never seen that much money in their life. And to turn down that kind of money in front of you, tangible, I can grab this, or I can go over there, maybe I get it, maybe I don't. Maybe they see it my way, maybe they don't. They would take it. They would take it like 90% of the time.
You know who took it? You know who was one fighter that took it?
Holmes, wasn't it?
Muhammad Ali did.
Yeah, I know Ali did, yeah.
I don't think Holmes did, though. I'm not sure Holmes did.
I thought he did, but I could be wrong. But, yeah, man, I mean, and Mike Tyson's another one that had a falling out with Don King. If I were the judge in the Amir Imam Don King case, I would rip this thing up. I would take the paperwork, rip it up, throw it at Amir. And, like, didn't you know who you were dealing with? didn't you know you were dealing with Don King? You haven't heard stories. You don't know his history. I don't get it, man. Why would you sign with that dude? We just had who was the guy the one guy, the Armenian guy. You know what I'm talking about?
The Armenian guy, you said?
Yeah, what was his name? The guy who was at PBC and then he went to Don King, and then he said he wished he would stay at PBC.
Monterosian,
that's it.
Monterosian.
He retired because he couldn't get out of the contract with Don King. This was recent. This was just recently. I mean, it's amazing. Staverne's with Don King.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it, man. Yeah. Like I said, man, I don't get it. I mean, you're just an idiot if you deal with that guy. So there you go. All right, guys, we will be back, I'm sure, sometime in the week. We'll talk about the Anthony Joshua's new opponent and all that other good stuff sometime in the week. But for right now, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Ringside Robert on Twitter at Ringside Robert, or you can catch Ringside Robbie's Corner at
area code 773-572-7781.
And leave a message. You can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. I'm at Ringside 73, and we will see you next week.